Today we are going to read from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32. We have been learning from Moses, and I want to bring out a principle here for us. Even though this is not precisely about the life of Moses himself, but it's a prophetic word that he gave, which we'll be doing well to take heed to. God has an order. Sometimes the problem we have is that we look at life and we've divided it into too many compartments. I was reading a book today. I bought the book. It's written by a man who won a Nobel Prize in economics on how people think. I just read a page of one particular chapter. And he said there's one error people make when they are thinking. That is when they are looking at a situation. For example, if they say that Hitler, you know Adolf Hitler, if you hear that the man loved babies and he loved dogs, you don't want to believe it. Because as far as you are concerned, he murdered 6 million Jews. That's not to count the other people that he killed. You want to just look at him as a totally bad person. So when you hear that he actually loved animals and he loved babies, you will have been surprised. I mean, so your body will just react to it. So the mistake people make, if you read my book, Grace to Prosper, I said something there when I put my discussion on tithing at the back, the very back of the book. And I explained my reason why I did that because of the way people behave. What I mean is that sometimes when we're dealing with God too, we say things that reflect our faulty thinking pattern. So we say something like, God is good. God is a good God. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Therefore, this is where the wrong side is. We now say because he's good, he never does anything that is painful. That's why we start making our mistake in describing the person of God. And I want to look at that again today so we can get it very clear. God is a very good God. Except, like I say all the time, I try to be a good father. Amen. I don't want to say I'm a good father. You know, I try. Amen. I won't say because of that, if my children, if they do anything wrong, I will never apply the rod to them. Yes, the rod is painful. Sharp rebuke can be very painful. But without it, they will not do well in life. Without it, they will not be disciplined. Without discipline, you can never succeed in life. Discipline is crucial for success in life, all right? And if I do not apply those principles of the scriptures for training a child because I want to behave as if I'm a good father, what will happen is that I'm going to ruin the lives of these children. And the Bible says that the father that hates the son is the one that does not discipline him, but that the father that loves the son must discipline that child. So what I'm saying is that the fact that I try to be a good father does not mean I don't do some things that may be painful at certain times to the skin, to the flesh of the young boy or the young girl. In the same manner, God is like that. So when we look at it that God is a good God, we just assume that he never does anything wrong. And if anything is wrong, it is the devil. If anything is wrong in people's lives, it is the devil. So what they do is to spend energy every time trying to fight the devil. And what I want to establish again today is we are misunderstanding the person of God. When we look at life like that, God is our father. The devil is not our father. The devil cannot discipline us. I hope you get what I'm going to explain. The only person that can discipline me as an individual is God himself. And I think about that very seriously concerning my life, and I order my life according to that. Nothing goes wrong in my life because the devil is angry with me. There's nothing he can do about it. My relationship is between me and my God. Even though something may appear wrong, I do not even ascribe, you understand, that to the devil. When we're talking about we overcome, in that message series, we have overcome. I explained that the devil has things that he's looking for in your life. There are methods by which he works. What he wants is to do, what he tries to do is to tempt you. You get my point? So that you take yourself away from the covering of God and come into his own arena. Later on, we'll talk about it. You must be careful that you don't fight on the devil's turf. A lot of people are fighting on they've entered the ring that the devil built, using the devil's rules, and they want to fight in the name of Jesus there. You understand my point? And they expect to win, and it does not work. So what the devil tries to do is to bring us into his arena, because he knows once we are inside his arena, he will win. You understand? So that's what he does. He tries to tempt. He does not have the power that people think he has. He does not have that power. He has the power to accuse, you understand? And that's why we must pray for each other. We must plead the mercy that is in the blood of Jesus over one another. You understand what I'm saying? Because the devil tries to accuse. What the devil also tries to do to you is to deceive you. If you don't fall for his deception, then you are safe. Now, we'll discuss that in detail then. All right? I'm not going to go over it again now in details. But I just want to emphasize the fact that God is in your life. That here an amen?
Amen.
He's the one that's in charge of your life. That here an amen?
Amen.
What you need to do is to ensure you don't fall for all those devices of the devil. The devil doesn't have any power over you. He's not the one causing some of the problems you are thinking about. Why am I saying all of these things you say? That's what I want to look into today. That's what I want to talk about. I want to look into it because Moses at the time had to explain this principle to the people of Israel. In concluding, I want to look at this from the book of, I said it should open somewhere, right? Yes, chapter 32. So these things I've been saying is what God told Moses to write for the people of God in that Deuteronomy chapter 32. Let's start from verse 14 of chapter 31. Now, we're going to read extensively because I was not able to decide where I will break this reading. So, we may end up reading a whole chapter, all right? But I'll try and jump here and there to make it short because we don't have all the time to stay here. Now, from verse 14, the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, the time for you to die is near. Call Joshua," please, I will rush a bit so as to save time, "and present yourselves at the tent of meeting that I may commission him." Now, you go to verse 16. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers, and these people will arise and play the harlot with the strange gods of the land into the midst of which they are going, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them.'" The Lord was telling Moses what was going to happen in the future. "Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them, and they shall be consumed, and many evils and troubles shall come upon them, so that they will say in that day, 'Is it not because our God is not among us that these evils have come upon us?' He said, 'But I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they will do.'" The Lord was saying clearly what was going to happen later. "For they will turn to other gods. Now, listen to this. What the Lord was doing was to prepare a solution for a problem that was going to arise. He said, "These people will go after other gods. And we must solve that problem even before it arises." He was not wishing them evil. It was a statement of fact that they were going to go after other gods. So what we want to talk about today is what I titled the Song of Moses. All right? The Song of Moses was a solution that God prescribed for what problem was going to arise in the lives of these people later. And don't forget this, we are not here to learn history. These things were recorded, the Bible says, for our learning. We upon whom the end of the age has come. We must take instructions from the things that are recorded. Now, please, the title of the message I said is what? The Song of Moses. So this was the solution that God brought forth so as to help them solve those problems when they will come about. He said that they will backslide, they will go after other gods, and they will suffer the consequences. Now, when they will be in the midst of those troubles, they may forget the reason why they are there or not realize it at all. Or they may forget the way out of their problems. So God said, "This is how I'm going to ensure that they remember." So he said to Moses, which verse are we in now?
19.
He said, "Now therefore, write this song for yourselves and teach it to the sons of Israel. Put it on their lips in order that this song may be a witness for me against the sons of Israel. For I will bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey." He said, "And when they have eaten and are satisfied and become prosperous, then they will turn to other gods and serve them and spurn me and break my covenant." Repeating what he said, "Then it shall come about when many evils and troubles have come upon them, that this song will testify before them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten from the lips of their descendants. For I know their intent, which they are developing today, before I have brought them into the land which I swore." So Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the sons of Israel. Now, please, because of time, we are going to jump here and there. Now, go down to verse 28. If you see, verse 30. Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel these words of this song until they were complete. The song is the whole of chapter 32, actually. You know, that's why we said let's start from chapter 32. But it just will give us a background to what we're going to be looking at in that chapter 32. Now, why do the I don't know, you may correct me later, but this is the first time I'm seeing a song being commanded that people should write a song and sing the song. And that tells us the spiritual principle behind it. You know, for a long time, you may have heard me say this, all right? For a long time, I used to wonder about the origin of songs. Why do we sing songs? I realized later that the thing is spiritual. I came to an understanding of it, just meditating about that. Listen, if you want to praise God as an example, you usually get tired of, Lord, we thank you, we worship you. You say it a few times. It kind of wears out on you. Are you getting my point? But if it's a song, you know, you can sing it the whole day. You understand? So I realized that the reason why God created songs, why he made it so that we will sing songs, so as to help us speak words that are important continually, is to help us drum things into our hearts, into our spirits. What you sing as a song all the time, listen to me, is affecting how you make decisions in life. Let me say it again. What you sing as a song is affecting how you make decisions. It's affecting your actions. It's directing what you do. I heard somebody said once, of course, different versions of this have been said. He said that, I don't care who writes the laws of a nation. Just allow me to write their songs. That is, I have more control over the people in the nation if I write the songs that they sing than the person who's writing the laws. That is why, listen, you know, I told you before, you know, when you have spiritual eyes, when you look at things, you know, from a spiritual angle, you see things that many people don't see. And I heard the testimony, remember the days of Fela, you know, Fela Nicola Kokuti? The man used to say that he's calling the chief priest. And Calcutta Republic was called what? The shrine. And people laugh about it. That no, now you take things too serious, self. Lighten up. I mean, that was just a joke. Anybody tells you that, he's the one that's ignorant. He does not know anything. When Fela was going to die then, and after he died, one man who was his deputy chief priest, you know, we have chief priest, and then you have some deputies. The guy was a deputy. He said that Fela died now. Maybe whether I knew what he was saying or not, I don't know. He said that Fela died because he stopped offering incense unto the gods. And what was the incense? It was the Indian hemp they used to smoke, the marijuana they used to burn in that place. It was because he cut a deal with Musa Bamiyi that time that they were going to stop the use of Indian hemp so that Bamiyi would leave them alone. And when to strike that deal, that man said his health began to deteriorate. Now, of course, we know he died from the consequences of HIV infection and all of that. But there are always two sides to this thing. There's a spiritual angle. So when I listened to that man, then I laughed. I said, there must be some truth to what this man is saying. He said that they used to burn incense to the gods, and the incense they used to burn was Indian hemp. All you need to do is read the scriptures, and I know that is not like to have totally been a joke. I've seen a video clip of the man performing worship on the stage, and people are sitting down there and watching, and they think they came for entertainment. Their lives are being controlled. They don't realize it. I heard the story of one man who was the redeemed pastor at the time. He was telling this testimony, and my friend who was giving me the story was a member of their church, of a man who went into that shrine, and in a few days, he was skillful in playing two or three instruments. Have you ever tried to learn how to play the piano? Or try to play guitar, you know how long it takes. A man becomes skillful in less than a week. You know that is not natural. He was a pastor when he was saying this. He entered into the place and a spirit will come upon him. I remember this guy, there was this musician, I read the story that time. He was already a believer. I was telling the story. There was people that did this film, Jesus Christ Superstar. All right? The first day he went on stage, a spirit possessed him until he was delivered. He was a rock artist. Look, to perform, evil spirits will possess those people. Why am I saying all of these things? The music you listen to is not innocent. It's not innocent. It's not innocent. It is not innocent at all. That's why you must make a conscious effort to decide what you are going to listen to. Listen, I'm not one person who believes in this is Christian music, it's not Christian music, but I found out one thing. No matter how liberal I try to be, there are songs I just can't listen to. There are songs I can't just I just can't sing. Let me give an example. I use this illustration. You know Bob Marley? Robert Nesta Marley. Anytime I hear him sing, I made up my mind that this guy was talented. No, that's not a joke. The man was talented. He had it oozing out of his pores. He used to sing without effort. So once a friend of mine had a collection of his music and he gave it to me. And I collected it because this guy is talented. Do you know I never could play it? I tried. Don't think I like I know, you know, as a man of God, you know, you don't listen to Bob Marley. Yes, even though I tried, it just did not gel with my soul. Even though that is, and of course I didn't struggle with it. It's not a word of life. So I just said I didn't bother. There are many people have listened to, at least when I say listen to, I just hear on radio, and I said, this fellow is talented. Like this fellow now, what's his name? Dibanj. The first day I was driving, somebody came to pick me to from one of my residence. We're going to work. And I said, who's that? I said, this fellow single. I said, that's Dibanj. I said, oh, this is the Dibanj. I said, this guy is talented, but I can't listen to him. All right? This is the reason I'm trying to bring an issue here. These things are spiritual. Now, so songs are not innocent. They have a spiritual message inside them. And for that reason, two things I want to say. One, I want to encourage you to be careful what you listen to. Number one, it's affecting you. You may not realize it. Number two, make up your mind to listen to music. Some people will say that music is not my thing. I agree. I'm like that too. I'm not much into music. But it's something you should do. You should make up your mind that I want to listen and choose your music. Play it. Let it fill the atmosphere around you. The reason is because it affects your faith. If you go and read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I described it in there. You know, recently I was preaching, I explained to people, I said, listen, how you respond in the time of crisis, listen to this, is determined by what has been, two things. One, what has been entering your heart concerning the thing you will do during crisis. And number two, what you have been saying concerning the thing you will do during crisis. Don't, therefore, as a man, don't tell your wife, say, one day I'm going to slap you in this house. You know why? Because one day you will do it. You understand? Don't go and tell your children, one day I will beat you, you will be hospitalized. Because one day you will do it. Are you getting my point? Because what your tongue says, all right, that's engineering, is controlling your body, is strategizing your body for release later. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's programming your circuits. So even if you are, just shut your mouth. You get my point? If you don't say it, you tend to shut it off from being produced. If you think it and you don't say it, it is easier to shut it off from coming into manifestation. Why I'm saying this is that what God told the children of Israel, we're going to go further into it and analyze it, but I can look at the principle of songs here. Songs were given so as to, you know, condition your body. Songs were given so as to condition your soul. Are you getting my point? Yes, that's what it does. So if you sing songs of praise all the time, it affects you in how you respond in the time of challenges. It affects your response in the time of trial. If you keep on saying, God of miracle, now my papa, or a time will come you will be in crisis, that song will rise up even while you're not thinking about it and will remind you of the fact that your father is a God of miracles. Are you getting my point? That you should actually have a heart that is expecting a miracle. You are following what I'm not explaining. And what you expect is very important. A man came to the Lord Jesus and said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He called him, say, come. A man was obviously blind. Yet he wasn't discussing with me, what do you want me to do for you? Why am I quoting that? Because what you're expecting will affect what you eventually get. This man was obviously blind. The Lord Jesus is saying, what do you want me to do? I mean, you and I will have just assumed that. I mean, he's blind now, healed it. No, the man was a beggar. Have mercy on me could mean I've not eaten the whole day. I hear say Judas imposed the food. Have mercy on me. And if you say, what do you want me to do? And say, that I might have my stomach filled. I said, Judas, said to him. And Judas will have dipped a hand into the purse, given the man some few days' wages, all right? And the man will go and eat. I'm talking about expectation. Do you follow what I'm explaining? So if you keep on telling yourself, my father is a God of miracles, it puts you in a place where you actually expect miracles. Many Christians don't expect miracles. Many are praying, but they actually do not expect any miracle. Please go and read my book again. I'm asking you to read it if you haven't. Great faith can be yours. In case you read it before, read it again. Those are the things I described in there. Sometimes people want to just say, hi, how can I have faith like this? Listen, these are the little principles of life. The kind of songs you are singing, all right? That those songs are affecting whether you have faith or you won't. You know, I made a joke of it. I said, if you sing Bob Marley, sing Bob Marley is talented, I know. And later on you find out, gifts, talents, what we call talents, they're just like that. What you do with it is your business. As a preacher, God can anoint you to preach. Better make up your mind what you want to preach. That is the truth. Because if you try to preach a lie, the anointing will still stay there and help you persuade people to believe a lie. That's true. And your judgment will be plenty. Bob Marley, yes, was talented. But the man, he sang a song. I got to have Kaya now. Then you two wake up in the morning. Got to have Kaya. Don't worry, you think you are playing. Very soon. Don't you think you are playing. And one day you wake up in the morning, you'll be broke. Landlord is looking for you. You're not picking the call. Your friend you borrowed his money last week. He's calling you. You're not picking the call. On top of that, the woman you were planning to marry just in 2 weeks' time came to come and give you the kind of headache you haven't seen before. You know what happened? You know, the devil is very interesting. The megad in front of your house, he will just come and say, ah, okay, hafa, menini. He said, my guy, I just feel like having Kaya now. Yes, okay, I get some for here. He said, I'm just joking. He said, which kind of joke? Yeah, okay, no big problem. He said, you get one talk like this, all your problems go vanish. You've been telling your body since, I got to have Kaya now. I don't know what came upon me. What you don't realize is that you set yourself up long ago. I dare to say it. A lot of the sexual, the major thing that propagates sexual immorality in the world is the songs that the musicians produce. I told you the first day I heard Shaggy, I didn't know a human being could be this talented. Oh my God. My friend was, you know what, they were walking in their car was on, they were playing it. I remember the one I heard was, why me, Lord? I just said, the guy did go to church. Because he was saying, why me, Lord? I just said, the man in a good church. Then when they were doing trade fair, then this was many, many years ago, about 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago now. Yeah, about that. Trade fair, then good, the old trade fair complex. One guy was selling, I just, oh, this is a shaggy guy. Okay, now, I collected it. I went home. The first thing I heard is, somebody caught him sleeping with the girl next door. Sleeping with who? This guy is a son of the devil. So this is what you're doing with your talent. Teaching us to sleep with the girl next door. Listen, as a believer, if you listen to it, one day you will sleep with the girl next door. And they will catch you too. Why? Because all your life, you have been singing, and you think it's just a song. Oh God, don't be deceived. It's not just a song, it's a prophetic word. It's not just a song. It's not just a song. You say, your young girls follow every man who does like this to them. It's not their fault. They heard Beyonce sing it. What's the name of that one that said she was designing a perfume to make her smell like a slut? Lady Gaga. If you listen to Lady Gaga, I think something is wrong with your head. If you are listening to Lady Gaga, something is wrong with your head. I don't know any of her songs. All I needed to do was see her once and hear her talk. I don't care what she's saying. It's infusing decay into your system. It is. I saw her on CNN looking like a demon-possessed girl. And they make demon possession look glamorous. And she has a new line of perfume out. What is it about? He said, the fragrance, he picked it. You know, why do you have to smell nice? I responded, I just had to design something that made people smell like a slut. You know what a slut is? And I said, well, that I designed this. And people will laugh. She's just funny. She's not funny. She's in ministry. She's not funny. She's in ministry. Fella was ministering those days. Did you not see the group of people that went after him? He broke homes. Listen to Dede Mari Biaku. The day Dede joined Fella, Fella said this would be hard. A few days later, his father disowned him. I heard it from Dede Mabiaku's mouth. Young girls ran away from home to follow Fella. Have you not noticed? Everybody that wants to make it in music sings a sexual song. Marvin Gaye was down and out and broke and busted and disgusted. Then he released Sexual Healing. That's how come I know his name. They do it all the time. What is his name? Fela Kuti. Femi Kuti. This thing is not, it doesn't come down the genes. He tried, tried. It didn't not work. He released bang, bang, bang. Instantly. That is what they call satanism. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what it means to be satanic. I'm instructing you today again as a believer. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful. So all these Nigerian boys, they just sit down and be singing all kinds of nonsense. Tune your ears off. You don't want. Songs, that's why they are there. They are forming your future for you. You don't realize it. Make up your mind. Listen. I will have songs of praise. We're not talking about praise, but go and get to our series then. There was a Tuesday series, prayer, School of Prayer, on praise and worship. I think you have the MP3 here. All right? Praise and worship. Get the whole series and listen to it. You know what praise is. With praise, you are rehearsing the release of the power of God towards you. Listen, you know, it's difficult to get up in the morning or every day and be reciting something like "The Lord, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever." You understand? As I say a few times, like I said, you'll be tired. But you can say, "For the Lord is good." You understand what I'm saying? "For the Lord is good." And you can say that for hours and hours. Listen. It is affecting your ability to believe God. It's affecting your composure under pressure. It's affecting how you react to the challenges of life. And if you're a musician, as a Christian, and you're listening to this, this is the kind of ministry you are in. Do you get the point I'm making? Understand that this is the kind of ministry you are in. Listen, and listen, when you talk about... the world being under the power of the evil one. When Satan said to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, worship me, I'll give you all these things. It's not a joke. You hear people talking, this is about Illuminati. I don't know about Illuminati or no Illuminati. I don't like to say things I don't know. You understand my point? I don't know it. The other day, I downloaded a video from YouTube, a very long video on Illuminati. By the time they finished, I decided that whole video was a joke. You know what I'm saying? I said, my bad, you should go away. Don't confuse me. They were trying to teach me anatomy itself to show that there's a face of Satan inside somewhere. I said, this is imagination. You can see anything you want from an abstract painting. That's what you are doing. I just threw the thing away, so I don't know about Illuminati. But I'm bringing an issue here. People talk about Illuminati and all of that. That this is a cult, you know, music, they control media, entertainment, and all of that. In fact, that's almost a distraction, in my own opinion. But one thing you can be sure of is that something like that exists. Let me quickly say this something to you again. One of the things that Satan uses to deceive people, all right, is he paints himself as one multicolored, red and black, usually mixture of color creature that has hooves instead of normal feet. You understand? And it has horns like this. And he wears some funny jewelry. You get what I'm saying? He has chains all over the place and looking very wicked with his mouth dripping blood that he just sucked from the last encounter. So you are going on the road. Say, today, this devil, oh, we'll catch him, oh, we'll kill him. And in your mind, you are looking for people with horns. You understand? and their mouth dripping blood. And some of the people going with you and say, yes, we are going to kill this devil today. You will know that is the devil himself. But because he's nicely dressed or she's nicely dressed, you don't realize it. Why am I saying this? Many people are waiting for when somebody will come and say, you are going to make money.